Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter, with particular focus on verse 28, where Jesus says, "Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." As the church year draws to a close, our appointed scripture lessons direct our attention toward the end of the world as we know it. You can call it by any term you wish: the day of the Lord, the last day, the second coming, judgment day. Well, the fact is that a day is surely drawing near when Jesus, God's anointed one, is coming again, and he's coming back with great power and glory. As the hymn says, "Flames on flames shall ravage the earth," as scripture has long warned us. Through his prophet Malachi, our Lord God says, "The day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all the evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord God of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch." And then we heard Jesus warning in our gospel, saying that there will be signs in sun and moon and stars and on the earth, distress of nations and perplexity because of the roaring of the seas and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Before you stand up and go out running and screaming into the streets, remember that our Lord promises that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He is your rock and your fortress. He is your deliverer and your salvation. He's the one in whom you take refuge. And it is instructive in our gospel text that Jesus does not say that after all these horrible things come, then he is going to come along afterwards and pick up the pieces. No, that's not what he says. He says he gives his word of promise, his word of deliverance, that in the midst of suffering and tribulation, he will deliver you. And we'll hear a little more about that in a minute. But as our text begins, Jesus is leaving the temple in Jerusalem with his disciples after a long day of teaching and debating the scribes and the Pharisees. He has been confronted by the religious leaders, questioned, tested, and plotted against. It's less than 3 days later when Jesus will be put to death on Calvary's cross. And as they leave the temple, some of the disciples speak of the beauty of the temple, the magnificent stones, the valuable offerings that adorn the exterior. But Jesus says to them, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." Jesus is preparing his disciples for the things that are to come. No one would have thought that it would have been conceivable that the walls of the temple would be thrown down. But only 40 years after Jesus' ascension into heaven, the siege and destruction of Jerusalem came. The year was 70 AD, and it was the fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy here in our text. And many of Jesus' disciples would live to see that day. Not one stone left upon another. But our text is not merely just a history lesson. This destruction of Jerusalem is a foreshadowing of what will come in the days leading up to our Lord's return, leading up to Judgment Day, the last day. And we are in those final days right now. Jesus is preparing you, brothers and sisters in Christ, for the tribulation that is to come. As Lutheran Christians, we believe, teach, and confess that the end times began with the death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. And after this beginning of the end, now God's grace and forgiveness no longer comes in on an altar in a stone temple made by human hands. No, after that, God's grace, the forgiveness of sins and salvation come through what our Lord has instituted himself, the preaching of the gospel, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. So Jesus gives us in our text concrete warnings that indicate that the last day is surely drawing near. The fall of Jerusalem, it's already happened 2,000 years ago. But today, you look around the world, and we see many false messiahs. Those who come in the name of Jesus, except they wish to lead you astray. There are wars and rumors of wars, natural disasters, famines, pestilences, governmental persecution of believers, division of family because of their confession in Christ. And in some countries, this betrayal of family even leads to martyrdom. As we look around the world, it seems that we have no moment when there is nothing to be anxious about. But as I said earlier, Jesus does not offer to spare the disciples from persecution and the tribulation. Even as the devil is working overtime to draw you away from faith in Christ, in his divine wisdom, Jesus gives no promise of a rapture or a quick escape. He says you will face hard times, some harder than others. Some of you are already experiencing those hard times. But right here in the middle of your suffering and tribulation, Jesus gives you his word. For all who fear, love, and trust in God above all things, you have his promise that for the sake of Jesus, he will provide deliverance and salvation for you within your tribulation. He did it for his disciples 2,000 years ago, and he does the same for you today. During your tribulation, hold fast to Jesus' words in our text. He says, this will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it therefore in your minds not to meditate beforehand how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. This echoes what the prophet Malachi speaks of. Our Lord speaks through Malachi, saying, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. I was raised on a farm. I've witnessed calves leaping from the stall. If you've never witnessed it yourself, I encourage you to go to YouTube and watch a video, because there's nothing like calves being released. Unrestrained joy, they run from the pen. And rather than facing the fire of God's wrath and being trampled underneath, all who believe in Christ will find healing in the righteousness of Christ. You will experience that unspeakable joy of your salvation. Malachi also prophesies that God will send Elijah, the Old Testament preacher of repentance. But Malachi is prophesying of a greater Elijah, who is John the Baptist, a great preacher of repentance who has prepared the way of the Lord. And today, God continues to send his under-shepherds, pastors, to call his people to repentance, announce the absolution, proclaiming the gospel, and administering Christ's sacraments according to his institution. The day is surely drawing near. God's anointed will return with power and great glory. And until his return, repent. Repent and cling to the gospel. Flee from all of your unrighteousness and abide in the one who died for your sins. Do not be deceived, but take the destruction and judgment on the last day very seriously. But not so seriously that that is your only focus. Don't become captivated like those who are obsessed with the end times and try to predict when the last day will come. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." You know today has enough trouble. It not only has its own trouble, but each day has its own works. Each day has enough good works and deeds for you to perform, not to be distracted by the end times. Not that these works count toward your salvation, but because God has created them in advance for you to perform. Our epistle text, St. Paul is warning the Thessalonians about this very thing. They had been taught that Jesus was returning very soon, so they neglected their daily responsibilities. They neglected their jobs. This gave them lots of extra time on their hands. They became busybodies, sticking their noses into everybody else's business and gossiping, depending on the support of others. But Paul calls them to repentance, and he encourages them and all believers to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. There's a lot of good to be done before Jesus returns. There are a lot of people who do not know salvation in Christ. We don't know whether Jesus is going to return in 1 hour, 1 day, a year, or 1,000 years. So in the meantime, we do what the Lord has given us to do. That is, carry out whatever vocation that you have and do the good work that God provides you. So what is your vocation? Luther would ask, are you a husband, a wife, father, mother, worker? Are you a church member or a simple citizen? Love and serve those whom you come upon in your daily activities, just as God in Christ loves and serves you. This is the good work that God has given you. So go and love and serve others, just as if you were loving and serving Christ, serving him face to face. And pray that God would grant you the wisdom and the strength to do these good works and deeds, and along the way, make a good confession of the hope you have in Christ Jesus. We look around the world and we see the turmoil, nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, natural disasters of all sorts, tribulation. And even our own country seems to be falling apart right before our very eyes. Yet, hear the words of Jesus. He says, "See that you are not led astray. Do not be terrified, for these things must first take place." In the original language, this "must" word, it means it is a divine necessity. These things must take place. We cannot avoid them. And then Jesus continues, "Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Excuse me. Christ crucified and risen from the dead is coming again to redeem you. What does this mean? It means that he's coming to take you away from all temptations of the devil, the world, and your sinful flesh. It is a great day of salvation that is coming for all who trust in Christ Jesus. He has already won victory over sin, death, and the grave on Calvary's cross. He has ascended to the Father, seated at the right hand of God in heaven, where he will come again, and from where he will judge the righteous and the unrighteous. But the last day is a great and glorious day, because the judge who is to come, he is also your Savior. When God looks at you, he sees you clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Your sins are forgiven. The one who has died on the cross and taking all of your judgment upon himself and paid the full wages of your sin, he is your Savior. He's done all of that for you in advance. And if he has done all of that, he will certainly never leave you nor forsake you. Because Jesus did not only just die for you, he also rose from the grave for you. His resurrection demonstrates his power over death and assures you that God accepted his sacrifice on the cross on your behalf. It is his promise of your bodily resurrection into eternal life on the last day, passing through death into eternal life. He will rescue you from the final destruction coming upon this world, and he will lead you into the age to come, where there will be a restored creation with all of God's redeemed at the feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end, seated with all the saints who have gone before. You have Jesus' word, and this is your hope, the very thing that you cling to during your suffering, during your trials, during your good times and the bad. The day of the Lord is surely coming soon. But do not be like the pagans who have reason to fear. For the end of the world is not a reason to fear, but a reason to stand tall. Look up into the heavens, because eternal life in the presence of your Savior is about to begin. Christ is returning to bring the glory of his eternal kingdom and take you home to live with him and all those saints who have gone before. To him belong all power and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.